This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
Oh, bro, I'm low-key faded, bro.
Nick Markakis. It feels like they figured out this roster, and they would have been just fine without him.
The elation in the locker room, what it means to the city, what it means to take over the city, the Dirty Birds are back.
Jimmy from LinkedIn.
Who is this, Ernie? G-Unit.
This is so frustrating.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's been an interesting day, to say the least. Busy day. It always is on Dukes and Bell. Glad you're here with us. Follow us on social media, guys. Dukes and Bell 929. Our poll question's up, and we're asking you, what do you think of Arthur Smith as the new head coach of the Falcons? Poll question's out there. Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm going to put them up. See Dukes radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. Go vote. Let's get more information. We are just gathering information.
Soaking it up like a sponge.
And let's talk to our man, HD. This is Harry Douglas, guys. Played with our Falcons, obviously. You hear him on the pre- and post-game shows here for 92.9 The Game during the season. He's doing a variety of other work in and around broadcasting now. But Harry, when we heard that Arthur Smith was close, and then this morning that the job had been offered, then we had to wait all day until it became official. Now that it is, what do you know about Arthur Smith, and what can you tell Falcon fans about him?
I know a lot about Arthur Smith. He was in Tennessee while I was there, and first of all, I want to tell y'all that he is one of the most hardworking people, human beings I've ever been around. He was always in early. He was always staying late. He was always doing what he had to do, and I told this story the other day. I remember one time when he was over the scout team, right? And he was trying to get the scout team offense to run things the correct way for the defense. And I remember him getting on the guys, and not in a derogatory way, but letting them know, listen, our defense can't have a good outing on Sunday if you guys don't give them the best look right now. And just seeing Art in that manner, in that facet of coaching, and letting those guys know that they had to go 100% no matter what, so the team can get the best look, so the team can be best on Sunday, was just remarkable to me. And you look at the two places that this offense struggled last year for the Falcons, right? It was red zone,
right,
and it was rushing the football.
Mm-hmm.
Two things I know Arthur Smith is going to do correctly. Now, it's a lot of things that he does right, but two things I know that's going to be right is running the football in red zone offense.
It's great to hear.
I thought it was a great hire, and I've seen Art work from the bottom all the way up, literally from the bottom all the way up. Never complained, always worked hard, always put his hard hat on, always brought his lunch pail, and was ready to work every single day, and he still is like that to this day.
It is Harry Dog. Harry Douglas with his guys, who again played up in Tennessee after his career here with the Falcons, and he knows the dude. That's why we're trying to get more information. I mean, a lot of guys looking at Harry, well, he's got a Derrick Henry. Well, we're going to have to make a commitment. How high do the Falcons have to go? Do you feel, since we're picking so high, we can get super quality at the second round and have the kind of running back that can do the things with the balanced attack we'll need?
Well, when you look at the running back position now, right, how many backs who are starting the league actually went in the first round? Derrick Henry didn't even go in the first round. Derrick Henry went in the second round.
Right.
So people have to remember that, right? And you can find a good, solid back, but it's all about fit. What running back fits your offense, right? What receiver fits your offense? What O-liner fits your offense? And Arthur Smith coming in, they're going to have to find a running back that fits his offense, fits his scheme, so they can get that show on the road. And I think you can do that. We see teams do it in free agency. So we can't just get caught up in, okay, we got to choose a guy in the first round, the second round. There's great running backs in the third round. Terrell Davis is a Hall of Famer, right? What round did Terrell Davis go in?
Like six.
You see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
If sixth round, if not a free agent. So
right.
you got to remember, guys, you can find running backs, especially nowadays, at any point in the draft or free agency.
How does he help make Matt better? Obviously, the two things you hit on to start this conversation are huge. But
yep.
Ryan Tannehill was efficient. He didn't make mistakes.
Yeah.
How does Arthur Smith help Matt Ryan in that area?
And I'll say this, Carl. You look at Ryan Tannehill, right? Everybody thought his career was over. He's a backup.
Yep. Right.
Next thing you know, he gets the job, and his career is revitalized. He's a $100 million man now. And part of that, a lot of that had to do with Arthur Smith, right? He does a great job of drawing up things. He does a great job of dictating what he wants the defense to play. He does a great job of just drawing up things. And you look at Art, right? Art started out at the time, the Redskins, but now it's the Washington football team.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in Tennessee for a while. He's had an opportunity to be around a magnitude of head coaches and a magnitude of schemes to be able to take pieces from each one of them, right? Take pieces from each one of them, soak up as much knowledge as possible, and integrate it to his own to make it best fit for his style. And I just think he's an unbelievable guy. I obviously know him, and I know how hard he works. I know how hard he cares, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people can work hard, but when you care and you work hard, that says a lot. But I think he's going to be very vital to Matt Ryan and Julio and Ridley and Russell Gage and getting those guys the football and getting Matt to be efficient, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to throw the ball 40 and 50 times if you're mm-hmm. efficient doing it. And that's what he had Ryan Tannehill doing.
It is Harry Douglas. You recognize the voice, guys, here. I'm, of course, pre and post with the Falcons right here on 92.9 The Game. And that's the thing, Harry. We have balance. You know, 16, you had a 1,000-yard year with Free. And obviously, we had Tevin. And it was a great combination. Sark got the most out of it. But the Michael Turner years, I think people think it's going to be like Michael Turner, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. No, it just the balance has been missing in this offense. And that will make Matt Ryan and Julio better because we're not going anywhere. So let's get something out of them.
And especially for what the Falcons have been wanting to do on offense the last few years is that if you're a play-action team, which Arthur Smith is going to bring here, right? You how are you going to play a run play-action and sell the run if the run is not efficient, right? It's that's just like saying I want to go to the bubblegum machine and get a piece of bubblegum, but I don't have a quarter to put in the bubblegum machine. So the two go hand in hand.
They absolutely do.
Hey, by the way, Carl, I mean, can I follow up real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
You believe in Hennessy at center because the left side of the line is going to have to be retooled a little bit, won't it?
Well, I'll say this. I think the last two games was very important for him. It was very important for him to get thrown into that fire, very important for him to get thrown into that heat with them big dogs, right? So now this offseason, he understands he's going to watch those two games over and over and over again and understand where he needs to be, understand that his play has to be brought to another level. And there was no two better weeks to do it than against a Chris Jones, against a Ndamukong Suh, right? So I think he's going to work extremely hard and understand that the position that he's going to be playing at center is going to be very key and vital to that offense because Arthur Smith had a guy that I love very dearly that played center for them named Ben Jones. Ben Jones played at the University of Georgia. Ben Jones walked pregame barefoot, no matter how hot or cold it was before game. And Ben Jones was just 100% dog now, 100% dog. That's why he's one of my favorite teammates of all time. And Matt Hennessy has to be that for this offensive line. He has to be able to take control, be able to direct that offensive line, even though he's coming into a second year. So those guys can be on one accord.
Harry Douglas, our guest, guys. Again, we're giving you as much information as we possibly can. We talked to Jim Wyatt. We talked to our buddy Paul Kaharsky, who you'll hear coming up. Harry played for Arthur Smith and has a real feel for him. As we make this transition now to this new regime and what he's going to bring, we're just trying to give you as much as we possibly can. And a lot, you know, we're going to learn a lot as time goes on, but it's good to have some kind of foundation. What about player relationships? We always talk about X's and O's. I know you said that he works hard and you know, he cares. What about his player relationships, and how do you think that plays out? Was he well-liked with players? I mean, there's one thing for a guy who does his job, but then we always hear, you know, all right, what do guys think about him behind the scenes?
They love him, man. They love him. You've seen him after they beat the Houston Texans, right, in the locker room with Derrick Henry, taking pictures with Derrick Henry and congratulating him on his 2,000-yard season. Art is love, and when I mean love by everyone, that's players, that's other coaches, that's staff around the building. He just has a way with people, and he knows how to deal with people. And in this business, if you're not good with people, he wouldn't be in the position right now being hired as the next Falcons head coach.
Right. And again, Harry, we're going to find out, you know, how everybody deals with the media differently. I mean, you know, you think about like Mike Smith. Smitty was a low-key guy. We had Smitty on 2 days ago. And he's such a good dude.
I actually talked to him 2 days ago, too,
yeah.
As well.
I mean, but like I said, we didn't know who Smitty was. And it was like everybody in this world we live in with social media, everyone wants to crap on it. This guy will find his own voice. But personally, I don't know about you, Harry. As long as the guy's in the locker room digging, I don't give a crap how it sounds, you know, talking to the media.
And this was the most important, though. Like, right? I'm going to put myself in Arthur Smith's shoes. What do my players think of me? Do my players love me? Do my players want to be around me? Can my players come to me about any and everything? And can they knock on my door and tell me anything? And that's the kind of person Arthur Smith is. That's the kind of person that's the kind of family the Smith family is. Not just Art. His entire family is like that.
Well, Harry, we know you're taking some time out of your busy schedule to jump on with this, man. We really appreciate you, brother. It's interesting. You know, as I've said to Falcon fans, it's an exciting time because there's always hope, right, when you start anew. And that's kind of where we are right now. And he's coming from a situation where if I take their offense with what we've had here recently, we'd be in the playoffs. That's been our issue.
So, oh, right? Yes.
So let's see what happens, man. Harry, thanks so much for jumping on with us, brother.
No problem, guys. Thank y'all for having me.
All right, Harry Douglas. So, Mike, you know, as again, we're reacting a lot today, and it's kind of been a buildup all afternoon starting at 2 o'clock. We were talking about it hadn't officially been announced. Now it has. You know, it took a few hours. And Mike and I were kind of talking about this all day. And if you're just joining us, you're wondering, all right, listen, man, Dukes and Bell, I listen to you guys. What's the deal? What do you guys think? If you're willing to go and make a judgment on saying that this is a bad hire, I think it's a mistake. You got to give people a chance. You got to give people an opportunity to prove what they were brought here for. We won't know that for a while. But I just want to know as much as I can, Mike, as a fan, about this individual and what we're getting. But I really think, and I'm just saying this, you know, you can feel however you feel. If you're asking me, I like the hire because I think he's going to bring what we need to turn the franchise around fairly quickly with what we have. This, again, isn't a complete rebuild, so how do you fix this? And we asked that question the entire process of coaches being interviewed. I like this move because that's what I think he's going to bring. Now, I still want to see who his defensive coordinator is. I still want to see who else he's going to bring in. I still want to talk about his approach and the general manager, and all of that will be determined. I like it, Mike. How do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to answer questions here on Twitter and on our Twitch. Don't forget, guys, you can follow us on Twitch. Guys, like, here we go, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I just asked that. Tannehill had 33. Go add up Tannehill's touchdowns versus Matt's touchdowns. Do you think there's any correlation, guys, from the fact we don't have a balanced attack? You have to run the football in the NFL. This guy took pieces that were, let's be honest, undervalued and got the most out of them. And he was also part of the decision with Mariota. This guy got it? Coach, he ain't got it. Let's stick with Tannehill, okay? The guy, again, not a household name. That's what we're trying to get. Carl and I are trying to give you more information. But I'm not going to crap on this. We were like, after 15, first off, who was underwhelmed when Shanahan was first hired? We're like, oh, Shanahan, nepotism, Redskins, Browns, what's this guy going to do? Took us to the Super Bowl. So I'm not going to crap on this. You guys want to, again, Carl, save those comments, click it, screenshot it, and you can yell at us in a year or two. I want to wait and see what this guy can do.
All right, more to get to with Paul Kaharsky. He has covered the Titans as well for 25 years. He knows Arthur Smith. What does he think about what he can bring to Atlanta? It's next. We want to talk to our buddy Paul Kaharsky. Paul, what is going on, man? Welcome to Dukes and Bell. We're trying to find out more information about Arthur Smith and this whole makeup of what he was able to do there in Tennessee. How you doing?
I'm well, fellas. How are you?
Good. We're hanging in there. Let's start first about how he ascended in the organization to become the offensive coordinator that's now being offered head coaching jobs. He started where? Literally started from the bottom?
Yeah, started as a defensive quality control coach, flipped to offensive quality control coach, assistant tight ends coach, offensive coordinator. Been here through, I'm going to forget how many head coaches. He was recommended to Mike Vrabel by Mike Mularkey, and he was on Ken Wisenhunt's staff, and I think Mike Munchak's staff before that even. So a lot of staying power. That's hard to do, no matter how low ranking you are, to last. Those low positions are spots where guys like to bring in, you know, their own, do people a favor, get a friend's son in there, stuff like that. And Arthur Smith had real staying power. He made a big impression on Joe Gibbs in brief time in Washington. And my old radio crew and I were on Radio Row, and we had Joe Gibbs as a guest. And he asked us to start off by asking him about Arthur Smith, and he couldn't say enough good things. And that was right when Arthur Smith had been promoted by Vrabel. When Matt LaFleur left for Green Bay, Arthur Smith kind of camped out and cornered Mike Vrabel early the next morning to campaign for the job, and he won him over, and a lot of people really, really like him.
It is Paul Kaharsky, our man, when it comes to Tennessee. Thanks, brother, for jumping on the show, because we got our listeners, Paul, saying, well, hey, anybody looks like a genius with Derrick Henry. Matt LaFleur had a 1,000-yard season with him, but it's like he doubled down, and then obviously the offense really got to life, and it seems like he gave Ryan Tannehill new life.
Matt LaFleur preferred Deion Lewis, Deion Lewis over Derrick Henry a great deal. Titans were talking about trading Derrick Henry at one point, I believe, during Matt LaFleur's year before he really took off late. And then he put up numbers the last four or five games of that year that got to the total that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But before that, he did very little, partly out of opportunity, but partly that he was a tiptoey running back who really needed a kind of change of style and determination, and that happened later, and really he hasn't become the back he is now until Art Smith was coordinating the offense. Also they had to get out for Marcus Mariota. You know, Art Smith's first six games were with Marcus Mariota as the quarterback, and they weren't good. And I don't know that anybody could have done a good job in that job with Marcus Mariota, who just didn't turn out to be what they thought. Right. But then given Derrick Henry and given Ryan Tannehill and given A.J. Brown, the best receiver who's been around here in a long, long time, those three pieces in an offensive line that got better and better, a top left tackle and Taylor Lewan, who played last year, got hurt relatively early this year. He started to make things really go. And, you know, I've covered this team, like you guys are saying, forever, all the way back to Houston.
Yep.
Always looking for a year where it would be an offensive football team. Never happened. And this team averaged 30 points a game, scored over 40 five or six times. Just a revelation.
PaulKaharsky.com. Check out the website. As I said, well-respected, and I've known him a long time. He's done a lot of great work in covering the Titans. And I think, Paul, when people talk about the offensive line, I just want you to kind of break this down. No Taylor Lewan this year. He was injured. Now, Taylor Lewan is a beast. We know that. But how are they still able to overcome, you know, arguably the best tackle in football and his injury and still be second in rushing and talk about the points you're talking about scoring? How are they able to do that with Arthur Smith?
Yeah, and it wasn't just Taylor Lewan. Then Taylor Lewan's substitute, a guy you guys might know, Ty Sambrylo.
Yeah.
He got hurt.
Right.
Yeah, so the second string left tackle got hurt. They ended up playing David Questenberry, a guy who had a remarkable story in Houston recovering from cancer. So they played a third string left tackle for a good share of the season. Very good at tackle throughout. And then their first round draft pick was Isaiah Wilson, a right tackle from Georgia, who dressed for two games, played four snaps in the one game he played, which were kneel-down snaps and a PAT, an incredible, unprecedented first-round disaster. So
he went nuts, went a little cuckoo. Yeah,
they really made it work. You know, the interior three were excellent, and tight ends, you know, Jonnu Smith was putting up big numbers early, scored a bunch of touchdowns early, and then all of a sudden the tight ends were staying in and chipping and helping, and, you know, there's a plenty of quick game. Derrick Henry picking up good blocks where he could and doing a lot of good work on his own. Obviously, a great group of blocking wide receivers here, dedicated to the craft and not shy about it being a big part of their resume. You know, really all out team effort, and Arthur Smith and Mike Vrabel able to get, you know, a complete buy-in from guys who weren't necessarily doing the top line on their job description in order to help this team find wins.
It is Paul Kaharsky, guys, from 104.5 The Zone. Again, longtime Titans Oilers cover in the NFL for years, joins us here on the waitforit.com hotline. Paul, what do you think the philosophy is going to be with us? We have Matt and Julio. We're up against it with the cap. We just don't seem to get the most out of our star players. You just talked about how he obviously developed some of the stars there in Nashville. If you could look into the crystal ball, what do you think an Arthur Smith Falcons team is going to look like?
Well, I think he knows how to maximize good players. You know, so one silly thing I've heard is, you know, well, they don't have a Derrick Henry type. You know, or if you don't have a Derrick Henry type, why would you want Arthur Smith? Well, Arthur Smith inherited a team that had Derrick Henry, and so he maximized Derrick Henry and built things off of that. You know, in Atlanta, the strengths are obviously Matt Ryan and Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones, and he'll start with that. You know, he's not going to have as much trouble putting together a staff as, say, Mike Munchak did. He had been you know, the offensive line coach forever with one franchise and didn't have a lot of and with Jeff Fisher being the head coach of that franchise for a long, long time. He hadn't been exposed to many people in the league. Then he was hired late, and he had a lot of trouble putting together a good staff. Arthur, as I said, you know, has a lot of friends based on all the people that have passed through Tennessee. Also that Joe Gibbs connection. And now, you know, you don't have to, you can't be denied on all of your requests. So I think he'll do a pretty good job putting a staff together, and then they'll assess what the strengths are. I'm not as familiar with the defensive side of the ball. I don't think he'll accept the Vic Beasley types, who I know you guys know is a disaster there, and we got to see him for ourselves, or not see him for ourselves here. And I think he will smartly assess what he has in front of him and then put them in the best possible position to do their best possible work. And I think that's all anybody could ask of a head coach coming in. And then, you know, hand-in-hand work with a new GM to acquire the pieces that he might feel are the best suited to help what he already has.
Real quick, Paul Kaharsky joining us, guys. NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Paul helping us give a little breakdown and an understanding of Arthur Smith, who's been offered the Falcons job. It is not official yet. What kind of person is he?
He is he's a really bright guy. You know, I probably knew him for 3 years before I had any clue that his dad was FedEx. You know, we've tried for years to talk to Fred Smith and to talk to members. He's also got a sister who's a film producer, successful in the movie making business in California. We've tried with no success to get her as well. He doesn't want those people talking about him. You know, literally born on third base, but acts like a guy who, you know, has to work to get the last spot on the team. Doesn't carry himself like that at all. And my only real question about him coming in, I think he can lead. I think players will love him. He's not the greatest in front of media, but I think part of it is that he's always been very protective of his head coach's message.
Right.
and doesn't want to step out of bounds or risk stepping out of bounds. And so I'm curious, you know, when he has an introductory press conference, if he's significantly more comfortable because he's not worried about, you know, going somewhere Mike Vrabel or Mike Mularkey didn't want him to go, or if it takes some time for him to get a little bit looser on that front. But I think Atlanta is the right kind of market for him that maybe would have some patience with him there. I think, you know, it's a terrific situation with a patient owner in another Arthur. And, I expect good things from him. But, you know, it tends to be when you cover an assistant coach, get to know him the way you can get to know an assistant coach, you generally have good feelings about a guy, and the proof is in the pudding. So, we'll be eagerly watching from down from up here. To see how it all comes together for him, and excited to see.
Great job, Paul. Appreciate all the info. PaulKuharsky.com. Check him out. Check out the website, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks again for jumping on this Friday, man.
Thanks for thinking of me. Good to be with you guys.
Cool stuff, man. Great job, by the way, by Squidbilly and Chris and our whole crew, our cadre, Carl. It takes a village to make a top-rated radio show. To get all the angles, man, from Harry Douglas, who played there when he was there, to the media who's covered this guy. We're trying to give you as much insight because we're with you. We're learning more about Arthur Smith by the minute. And I said on Twitter, Carl, I said, if nothing else about this guy, if my dad started FedEx, and by the way, Fred Smith's story is amazing in and of itself. Vietnam vet, did the same job my dad did as a forward air observer. But anyway, if my old man started FedEx, I'd be living like Tommy Boy. I would literally be, you know, that guy. I would be sitting around the office, you know, being an idiot. Anyway, this dude seems to be carving out his own niche. Speaking of Tommy Boy, Carl, I watched it last night. It was on right before midnight, and I couldn't go to bed. I had to watch it. Fat guy in a little suit. Here's our question tonight, 404-741-0929. Your favorite comedy from the 90s. Your favorite comedy film from the 90s. 404-741-0929. That's tonight's game winner on Dukes and Bell on radio.com, on Twitch. We're worldwide, man.
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question.
All right, man. I stayed up late last night. And, well, late for me lately is midnight. But I was watching Tommy Boy, Carl. And, you know, not all the jokes still fly. But Tommy Boy is still a very popular comedy from the 90s. I was joking around. If I was Fred Smith who started FedEx as a kid, I would be Tommy Boy. I'd be living that life. But what's your favorite comedy from the 90s? Just some consideration for some of the younger audience. You got all the Adam Sandler movies. You got a lot of Jim Carrey movies, Carl, from back in the day.
Office Space. Hands down.
I'm going to go with Something About Mary.
Okay. Great.
Something
great
About comedy. Mary still makes me laugh. You know, great what comedy. About Brett Favre? Anyway. But
Office Space yep. is so in our lexicon.
Right.
I'm going to need to see you.
And it's the great, the was it the actor Stephen Root? I'm going to burn this place to the ground. Oh. I believe you have my stapler. You and I use that in the office all the time.
Yeah, man. Office Space, for me. Yeah. I mean, and you're right. you can't go yeah. wrong. There's so many great right. comedies in the 90s.
But Happy Gilmore still makes me laugh out loud when Chubbs is up in heaven with the alligator and Abe Lincoln. But let's see what the guys have to say.
What's happening?
You have your TPS cover?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my God. So funny. When he thinks that his boss had hooked up with Jennifer Aniston.
The best, man. I'm telling you. If you've never seen Office Space, you just go
makes
laugh.
Me laugh every laugh. Time. You're right, man. I'll tell you what I'd do with $1 million. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. What's your favorite 90s comedy film? What do you got, man?
Hello?
Hello?
This is Darlene. I'm a woman.
Hey,
hello,
woman.
Darlene.
Hi. I'm a woman. And this is my first time ever calling you two. Can I talk to you? I'll give you my favorite comedy, but can I talk to you off the air?
I don't know about that. My wife might get upset.
Well, first of all, what's your comedy?
I like Craig Ferguson. He's my favorite comedian.
Who did she say? I'm sorry, I missed that. Who did she say?
Craig Ferguson.
Oh, okay. Right. Favorite comedian. I got you. Well, hold on, Chris. Find out what we can do for Darlene there. We appreciate all of our ladies. We really do.
You can handle Darlene. I'm gonna unplug.
I can handle 7 o'clock. I'm off you, fool.
Nah, don't look at me, pal. Hey, man, you're on the radio. Your favorite comedy film of the 90s. What do you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I got to go with Billy Madison.
Billy Madison got a bunch of, by the way, I'm looking at a couple of lists, Carl, that have been compiled from Variety and Ranker, the website. And Happy Gilmore comes in at number one for the 90s. Okay. Ace Ventura in two. Dumb and Dumber comes in at three.
The first one was good. Everything else after sucked.
I'm with you. Tommy Boy was four. Friday comes in at five.
Friday. Oh, my God. Friday. Yes.
Damn. Yeah. And then Billy Madison comes in sixth. And then Something About Mary comes in seven on this list. So anyway, there's no wrong answers, guys. Your favorite film comedies of the 90s. Hey, man, it's tonight's game winner. What you got?
Look, Mom, I'm roadkill. The Mask, bro. Jim Carrey. Gotta love it.
I haven't seen The Mask in a minute. I haven't seen The Mask in a minute.
You know, but Jim Carrey made a bunch of, I guess, 90s.
He made a fortune.
He made all those movies.
You know, at the gym they have, I'm trying to forget, is it BET or The One Network? And they were showing in Living Color the other day. And I was watching, it was like Fire Marshal Bill. I had to laugh. But, yeah, I mean, Carrey just got on fire. I just moved to South Florida when Ace Ventura came out. I always loved those scenes with Dan Marino. Einhorn is Finkel. Finkel is Einhorn. I'm sorry. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for your favorite 90s comedy?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, just when I thought you couldn't get any dumber, you go and totally redeem yourself. Dumb and Dumber.
He just mentioned it. That's a good one.
The flying dog car. Come on, tell me that doesn't make you laugh every time.
Oh, it does. No, it does.
And the scene with Cam Neely. Kick his ass, Seabass.
I'll be honest. When Dumb and Dumber came out, I really didn't know what to expect. And then it got its own little buzz, and people started talking about it. And then I was like, all right, I gotta see it.
Right.
And I didn't know if I'd like it. And it was funny. It really was.
Of all the Farrelly Brothers stuff, I still love Something About Mary. It just makes me laugh out loud. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What you got? Your favorite comedy from the 90s film.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I don't know why your mama named you that African name, nor are you from Cleveland. House Party, man. It's an underrated joint.
You're right.
It's cool people, man. Good show today, guys.
Oh, appreciate
Thanks, brother.
You, bro. House Party. Now, that takes me back. That takes me back. Good
the
call.
The kid and play, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, good call.
Martin was the bad breath DJ in House Party. Martin Lawrence, and he had halitosis, and everybody was like, dang, come on.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for your favorite movie comedy of the 90s?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
It's got to be half of your listeners smoke Reaper, so it's got to be Half Baked, starring Dave Chappelle.
Okay.
Half Baked makes a bunch of top 10 lists, by the way.
Yeah, listen, I think that's an underrated movie myself. I do.
Right on. There's Austin Powers is in there. Groundhog Day is in there. Wayne's World is in there. American Pie is also on some of these. I'm looking at some of these compilation lists of the great comedies of the 90s. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What's your answer?
Beavis and Butthead do America.
Hey, Beavis, he's checking you on. No, he isn't. Shut up. Hey, man, you're on the radio. What do you got for us, man?
That's my day. Friday.
I just saw an audition tape. Somebody put it out there.
Yeah.
It's Mike Epps attempting to play, I think, Day Day or whatever, his character, and they're in a screening room.
Screen test.
Yeah.
Right.
And he makes everybody laugh so hard in the screen. Ice Cube breaks down, they're trying to do this scene, and it just gives you some behind the scenes. Obviously, it's not the original Friday. Everybody still asks Chris Tucker to this day. I've seen Chris a ton of times, and he's like, it's the number one question I get. When y'all going to do another Friday? That happened.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, great show today. Like the call said, great show today. I really enjoyed it, man.
Thank you.
I enjoy y'all every day, man. This movie right here for the 90s was the Bad News Bears of the 90s. Unnecessary roughness, especially when they had the piercings brawl in the bar. And Rob Snyder started having a championship celebration when they won their first game, and he was the only one in the booth.
With Sinbad, Kat the Ireland, Scott Bakula, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we always use that line from Robert Loggia. Remember, he goes, let's analyze what's been working. Not a damn thing. Makes me laugh. Hey, man, it's our best comedy 90s movie. What you got for us, man?
Hey, man.
Hey, hey man.
Hey, I think it's early 90s, but if I'm wrong, I'm sorry, but Spaceballs.
Spaceballs is 80s. That would be
late,
80s.
Late 80s?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Late 80s.
80, mid-80s, yeah, with Mel Brooks. That's all right, man. Good try.
Because Spaceballs is funny.
I love Hollywood Shuffle, but that's 87. So that's, again, we'll do that later in the week. That's comedies of the 80s. Today it's the 90s because we're talking about Tommy Boy, because the new Falcons coach could have been Tommy Boy, but he wound up being an NFL head coach. How about that? Hey, man, you're on the radio. What you got?
Every time I come in the kitchen, you in the kitchen. In the refrigerator, eating up all the food. Rest in peace, John Witherspoon.
No doubt. Oh. He was a treasure, man. And I got to tell y'all, I had a chance to hang out with John with a couple of comedy shows and being backstage. Just funny as hell, man. And naturally funny. Mike, you know those guys that right. They're not even trying to be funny, but they're just – everything they say is like – and the way he said things would just make you laugh. That's, of course, is from Friday as well.
Remember from Friday – I mean, how many times you're on a road – remember you and I, when we took the bus, remember we had the guys at Wade Ford, we took the bus down to the Super Bowl in Houston?
Yeah.
And the joke was, don't nobody go in the bathroom for about 35 to 45 minutes. It was like we probably said it 16 times on that road trip.
Good call, man. Friday is up there. And now you got me wanting to go watch Friday, damn it. Look at you guys. All right, man. Before we get out of here, we got to tell you guys about Mimecast. It has been a busy day. Falcons hire Arthur Smith as our new head coach. Mimecast protects our email. It protects our show's email, should I say. It can protect your business's email as well. It is the number one cloud email security and resilience campaign for Microsoft 365. More than 38,000 organizations trust Mimecast to keep them safe from phishing, business email compromise, and the risk of ransomware. Mimecast.com. Check them out, guys. Today, the email is simple. Guys, finally, we got a coach that believes in the run. For the last 2 years, this is Ken. Ken says, for the last 2 years, I've heard you guys talk about Dirk Cutter not being committed to the run. Today, from this show, all I've gotten is this guy wants to run the football, establish the run, and be a physical football team. Isn't this what we've all wanted?
Mm.
Ken, I hope so. We'll see. I mean, this is what you're right. This is what we've talked about. Mike and I think the thing that bugs us the most before we clear our throats, when we've been in situations over the last couple of years, 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, and not being able to get it, red zone, you know, right. short yardage, punch it in, and we can't get it. That's not going to be this guy's MO. He's not going to settle
right.
for that.
So, I mean, go back and look at you and I were talking about this yesterday. You look back at the games, the leads we blew. Look at the Chicago Bears game, 3-and-out, 3-and-out, 3-and-out. The inability to run to finish games too, Carl, to your point,
right.
to run the ball, to finish football. And I, with all due respect to the guys that hit us up, it's not a gosh darn Madden game, guys. We haven't had balance. This is not, again, guys, we're not breaking out the single wing. Pop Warner is not coming to Atlanta to coach. Tannehill had 33 touchdowns versus 7 picks last year. You have a balanced attack. It sets up play action. For those who don't know what play action, that's a fake handoff, okay? And then defenses bite on that, and then Julio and Matt can hopefully connect for about 10 touchdowns or more. So that's what we're shooting for. That's why we're going to bring this guy in here, and we'll find a running back. So that's where we're going.
All right, man. By the way, listen, we appreciate you guys. I'm talking about our listeners, however you access us, Twitch, social media, listening in the car, whatever. Today's a busy day. We appreciate you, but I got to give a shout out to my people. And Mike Bell, great job. Bo Morgan, Chris, today was busier than normal, and we were on it. So great job to the crew. Let's get out of here and clear our throat.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for...
Let me clear my throat.
Monday. Are we talking about having our new GM, which means the Saints have lost? Or are we talking about waiting another week, maybe two, as the Saints will have won? Before we get out of here, Mike, what is your expectation for the weekend? What are we talking about Monday when we come back off of this playoff weekend?
I'm gonna go with the Bills beating and ruining the Ravens weekend. I think Josh Allen's gonna put the team on his back. They haven't got a running game, so I think a lot of folks really do like the Ravens get it done. I'm still going with the Saints, man. I mean, you beat the crap out of the Bucs in one game, and you beat them soundly in your house. I don't know how the Bucs going to come up with some secret sauce to get over that pass rush. So I'm going to go with the Saints. And again, brother, Chiefs, I think, aren't we all rolling with the Chiefs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jalen Ramsey versus Davante Adams. Man, get your popcorn. That's going to be a battle, and that will probably set the tone for that game.
I agree. I want to see number one defense, number one offense. I still like Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, especially at home. I do like the Ravens against the Bills. I think they cover. That's just me. And then Chiefs are a 10-point favorite. I think they win. Do they beat the Browns by two scores? We'll see. Mm. I like the Saints as well, man. We'll see what happens on Monday. Hey, guys, have a great weekend. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
All right, guys, we've been focusing a lot on Arthur Smith and learning more about this dude. One of the other big stories are dropping today. There have been rumors about it. Now it sounds like it's going to go down. Dan Lanning, the Georgia defensive coordinator, is going to Texas. Multiple reports say Sarkisian is going to hire him to be the D.C. for the Longhorns. And he's been hanging around. Word is now, Carl, Will Muschamp would be the guy possibly to replace Dan. They might have wanted to get him on the salary, but there was no salary to give him yet. So we will have, Carl, if nothing else, at Sanford Stadium, the world's most intense sideline with Kirby Smart and Will Muschamp, if those reports are accurate for next season.
Hey, we found out today that Carl Anthony Towns tested positive. He just put out a statement. Now, understand, he just lost his mom back in April to coronavirus. Mm. And he says, prior to tonight's game, I received another awful call that I tested positive for COVID. I will immediately isolate and follow every protocol. And I pray every day that this nightmare of a virus will subside. And I beg everyone to continue to take it seriously by taking all the necessary precautions. We cannot stop the spread of this virus alone. It must be a group effort by all of us. And he goes on and talks about his family. But obviously, this is different for him, because he just lost his mom, and now he's contracted the virus, and he's worried. And so at the end of this, he says, to my niece and nephew, and Jolena and Max, I promise I will not end up in a box next to Grandma. I will beat this. That's tough. We wish Carl Anthony Towns the best. I hope he recovers just fine, but I understand for him it's a little bit more personal. If you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
the cable's out, and all you got left is Biodome on VHS.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.